Good morning. Welcome. I encourage you to take your Bible and open to 1 Samuel. We're going to take a look in there at chapter 15 in this message in the series Learning from the Classics. This message I've entitled A Trustworthy Servant. Acceptance. Believers have a need to be accepted by the Lord as a trustworthy servant. Look at Matthew chapter 25 in verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And if you haven't turned there yet, I encourage you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, where it reads, "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" For a little background, you need to go back to Exodus and look at chapter 17 of Exodus, just a few verses there, beginning with verse 8 of Exodus 17, just for background of what is going on here. It says, Exodus 17:8, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" And then if you go forward to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. You shall not forget." And then Numbers chapter 24, verses 20 and 21. "And then he looked on Amalek, and he took up his oracle and said, 'Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes.' And then he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his oracle and said, 'Firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock.'" God had a plan and chose his servant to execute it. King Saul was his servant. It was time to fulfill all that prophecy going all the way back to Exodus and forward and destroy the Amalekites. The detail is amazing. The Kenites were to be protected from it. Verse 6, then Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Now look at the account of how King Saul carried out the task he received from the Lord. Or how he didn't carry it out. Look at chapter 15. We continue. 1 Samuel, verses 4 and 5. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. And then, verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commands. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. And then you jump down to verse 26. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Saul was rejected as king because disobedience proved him unworthy, untrustworthy. The Lord's servants are established by their obedience. And how does obedience establish trust? Well, first of all, obedience directs attention to the Lord. Verse 12. So when Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. King Saul disobeyed instructions and took credit for the presumed victory. In his compromised actions, he gave no glory to the Lord. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus in the upper room. John chapter 14, verses 8 down to about verse 10. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Listen, do you know the Lord so well that He's seen in you? When people look at you, they see Christ. Jesus told Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't see the Father in me? Do people see Christ in you when they look at your life? Do you conduct your life in such a way? So obedience directs attention to the Lord. Second, obedience carries out the Lord's will. Verse 19, Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Samuel revealed King Saul's real motive. He was tempted by the wealth of the plunder, but he had no problem destroying what he deemed worthless and despised. I remember one of our technicians, our computer technicians, that was sent down on a trip from Miami to Buenos Aires. And then he was to go from Buenos Aires to Rio. Actually, he was sent to Buenos Aires. And he did the work. And then he went on to Rio. His wife owned a travel agency in Miami. And she got him tickets, some special promotion tickets, from Buenos Aires to Rio. And so he left quickly after a short visit in Buenos Aires. But when he filled out the expense report, he charged the Argentine distributor for 3 days instead of the 1 day that he was there. Of course, it became a problem when he came back. Well, it was a lack of integrity. It was a lack of following instructions. It brought a bad look on the office in Miami. Let me ask you, have you ever reconsidered God's instructions in your ministry with Him and instead offered Him some altered obedience, some compromised obedience that maybe looked like you did some obedience, but really you didn't? That was the bad news. And yet it's possible to be an obedient, trustworthy servant. And our text provides four keys to apply it to your life. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, first, recognize the voice of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 down to verse 9. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed them on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not despair them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of the Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Heed the voice of the words of the Lord in order to receive instructions and to effectively obey them. You got to hear the words of the Lord. You got to hear His voice in order to receive your instructions. You got to listen to the Lord in order to effectively obey Him and obey His voice. Verse 3, again, "Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. Saul didn't do that. He didn't follow the Lord's instructions. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So, recognize the voice of the Lord. Second, remember where you came from. Look at verse 10. "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, 'I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Now when Samuel arose in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, 'Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal.' And then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.' But Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?' And Saul said, 'They have brought from them the Amalekites. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed.' Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night.' And he said to him, 'Speak on.' And so Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Remember to remain grateful and avoid becoming proud in ministry. It's easy to do." Verse 19 again. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And I remember, and I'm grateful for my salvation experience on March 28, 1981. It was God who saved me, not me. He called me into ministry. I didn't just choose that. And He gave me the tasks to serve Him. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, "We love Him because He first loved us." Remember where you came from. Third, remember committed to God's priorities. Verse 20. Down to verse 23. "And Saul said to Samuel, 'But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.' So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'" You see, obedience is what pleases the Lord. And commitment helps us to avoid sin. Verse 23 again, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Obedience was the law of innocence, but sacrifice supposes sin come into the world and is a feeble attempt to take away what obedience would have prevented. That's what Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said. He said, obedience was the law of innocence, but sacrifice supposes sin come into the world and is a feeble attempt to take away what obedience would have prevented. God would rather that you obeyed than that you had to bring a sacrifice to deal with the sin. And then fourth and finally, repent of sin. Don't rationalize it. Verse 24 and forward. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Listen, avoid deceit. In verse 15 and verse 20, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, and the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalekite. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things that which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. It's being deceitful. So avoid deceit. Also avoid blaming others. Verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Saul couldn't even take it on himself. He had to blame his other soldiers and the other people. And avoid taking sin lightly, as Saul did. Verse 25, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Then verse 30, you know, it's like, just, okay, yes, I sinned. Okay, I did. But just come with me so that that I can worship the Lord. And then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. Don't allow me to look bad in front of the people. I know I sinned, but, you know, just let's just kind of let this go. Don't let me look bad. John said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we fall short, we need to confess it. We need to seek forgiveness. And God promises to forgive us. Just take a moment. Consider what Jesus Christ has done for you. And acknowledge Him in everything. Consider what Jesus Christ would do. And follow through obediently. According to His commands. According to His leadership. According to His direction. Will you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this testimony of Samuel and this narrative of Saul and how he tried to make it look like he was doing what God called him to do, but he fell short and he did what seemed right in his own eyes. And even being caught in sin, he tried to make it look okay, that he wouldn't lose face. Father, may we not be presumptuous in that way. May we be committed to the Lord. Father, I pray that You would give us conviction for that. And Father, it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.